Real privilege to be back here at Falls Baptist Church, and always tell our team it's good to be home, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Travel a lot during the summer times, and I enjoy traveling, and I was counting up with my wife. I think in the last 9 summers that I've been out, including this summer, I'm counting it in, I think I've been to about 350 churches or so, somewhere above 300 churches, and there's nothing like coming back to Falls Baptist Church, nothing in the world. And it is an incredible privilege to be a part of this church, and I appreciate your support and the prayers that are out. I know they're there because I have been getting texts throughout the time from you all about that, and I do appreciate that. And you are the reason we make it. And you please pray for us. God worked this morning, and God is working and through this team. And pray for students to come to BCM that need to come to BCM. And pray for churches to be encouraged, pastors to be encouraged. I'll tell you what, one of the biggest things we go out there and see is churches and pastors that are big time discouraged. And very discouraged in the work of the ministry and not going forward. And pray that our team will be an encouragement to these men. And I know they will be. And I know with your prayers going before us, it'll be great. Jeremiah chapter 6 tonight, please. Jeremiah chapter 6. We'll get there in just a moment. Jeremiah chapter 6. My dad asked me to preach on millennial generation, call to my generation. And I am a millennial. let me find out. How many of you in this room are millennials? I'm going to raise your hand, please. Millennial generation, raise your hand. All right. Okay. How many of you are part of the Gen X generation? Gen Xers, all right. Okay, much smaller group. How many of you are baby boomers? Raise your hand. All right, much larger group. You have almost equal to millennials in here. All right. How many of you are part of the silent generation? That's before that. That is the name of it, okay? Born from 1928 to 1945. All right, okay. I don't know if do we have any GI generations? They call them the GI generations, 1900, 1927. Anybody in here? Older folks in here? All right. There is where? All right, Brother Yeager. There we go. We got a representation from each one. Hey, praise the Lord. All right, that's the breakdown of the generations. And tonight I want to speak about the millennials. But let me just tell you this. I am a millennial, speaking to millennials and speaking to other people. But let me just say this. The problems that we see in the millennials are not brand new to millennial generation. The problems we see in the millennial generation have been there centuries and millenniums, and I'm not, no pun intended there, many thousands of years. We've seen that throughout history. But I think it has come to a head now in these years, in 2015, because of where we are in this world, where we are in this country, with the morality, with the technology, and all these different things that I'll talk about in just a few minutes. But let me just tell you, millennial generation is a different generation, okay? I think some of you know that. If you're a parent of a millennial, I think you understand that. Millennials are different. And tonight, I want to preach basically a call to my generation, but I want us to understand as millennials and as everyone else that there is hope for the millennial generation. There is hope for us. All right, I'm going to give some negative stuff tonight about the millennials and some eye-opening, I hope, and just some reality checks for us about my generation. But at the same time, we are a very open generation. We're open to what God would have for us because we're empty. When we're empty, we're searching. When truth is put in front, I think millennials could be reached in huge numbers right now. And I'm convinced of that. We travel a lot, and I see our young guys talking to the millennials. And it is incredible to see. Yes, we look a little different. We all have suits on. But they are connecting with the young generation, and it's neat to see that there is hope for our generation. And we'll talk about that. I was just telling my wife before, I am totally millennial. I had to look up something. I had a question about something in my message during the service, sorry, and I looked up something on my phone. All right. She looked it up actually for me on my phone. I used my phone. I am such a millennial. Here I am preaching about being a millennial, and I'm using my iPhone in the service. So don't look at me like I have 3 heads. You probably did the same thing today sometime. All right. Okay. I get these looks. By the way, when we preach, you say these things, and you go, oh, Brother McGillin, I have never done that. Yeah, right. Okay. We'll preach online in the next service. But that's okay. I'm just kidding. But I just realized, I am literally a born and bred millennial generation. And I was trying to do something for a good cause. It wasn't just their texting or whatever. But I tell you what, millennials are connected to the new stuff. Millennials are all about new. We are a distinctly different breed, okay? As opposed to the old, quote-unquote old, or the past generations, we are always desiring to think of new ideas, to take the world to new places, to transport the technological advances to new heights, to think of new money. You've heard the new money out there? I don't even understand it, but new money and new scientific theories and new methods to do things and new ways of running the country and new. In some of our Christian realms, we've had a lot of new that's come on the scene as well. New music, new methods of reaching people, new theological ideas, new ways of raising kids, new standards of conduct, new biblical convictions. Can I say in some ways my generation is starting to raise up a new God? New. You know, it's kind of a buzzword out there. It's kind of, hey, let's do something new. Let's do something innovative. Let's get out there and blaze a trail. Well, that's not a bad thing in a lot of ways. It's not a bad thing to be something new. But let me tell you tonight, millennial generation, the answer for my generation, the answer for me tonight is not to go blazing a new trail in my life somewhere, but to follow the old path that was carved way before I ever got there. I stand here tonight, a product of past generations. You know, I tell people all the time, I wouldn't be here if it was for, and I could fill in the blank for many, many people. But I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a baby boomer. My father, who poured hours and has poured hours and still pours hours and hours of his life into my life. Of prayer, and I could go on for hours. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a grandfather who loved God. Grandfather, I think, part of the GI generation, who loved God, who served God, who unashamedly stood up for what was right. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that example, for grandmothers and mother who prayed for me and who loved me. I'm a product of other generations in a good way. The fact that I stand here and even desire to be in ministry, because somebody put me on the old path. Tonight we're going to talk in Jeremiah chapter 6 about the old path. And we're going to start here in the scripture. We'll go away and talk about some practical things and we'll come back. For time's sake, I won't go through the whole chapter because it's getting later tonight. But we're looking at the children of Israel here facing certain destruction here in this book of Jeremiah, this chapter. Certain destruction. And we know the history of Israel. We know what happens. We see them over and over. I mean, like dumb sheep, like we all are, looking in destruction in the face and doing what? Doing exactly what they were told not to do. Over and over and over. And lest we get judgmental of the Israelites, we do the same thing ourselves. And I do the same thing myself. And I look at what's coming and God says, don't do this or else this will happen. And they do it and look what happens. Wow, they get destroyed. And here is the Lord speaking through Jeremiah, and you're pointing out the problems that they have, and here comes the destruction. Let's fast forward into verse number 16. And all these things are happening, and thus saith the Lord, verse number 16, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Verse number 17, also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Those last phrases of verse number 16 and verse number 17, I feel like is the millennial generation right now. I feel like that is my generation that is being warned, that is saying, hey, come back to the old path. Hey, come back to where God wants us to go. And no, that's okay. I'll blaze a new path. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go my own way. And tonight I want us to see that my generation to see, and I want us, the other generation, to see that the millennial generation, the young people here in this room, don't need to get out there and find your own way in life. You know, I've heard many young people, some from this church, some from around the countries I travel, I'm just going to find out what God has for me. My parents, I'll go to college, and I'll just, I don't really know what's going on, and they seem all out there just kind of floating in life. I think it's time for young people not to get out there and be puzzled what God wants for their life, and not to get out there and push away what authorities want for their life and those different things, but to say, you know what, I think it's pretty clear what God wants for my life. to serve God. Maybe not. God has not called every millennial to be in full-time ministry like I am. Maybe that's not the point tonight. But the point is this. God has called every millennial to go back on the old path, to get back where the good old path, where men of God through the years from the Bibles, by the times of the Bible, back to where we are today, all the men of God that we respect, to get back on that path and serve the Lord. And we'll talk about what that means in just a few minutes. There are several points I want to talk about, and I want to see that, first of all, the characteristics and compromises of our generation. I do have to say, Brother Weber, I have 4 points on message tonight, and I'm going to preach, so I'm not sure what's going to go on here. We'll see how that works tonight. That's okay. All right. The characteristics and compromises of our generation, and I heard this was going to be a series going on, and I want to be practical tonight. I know it's getting later tonight, but I want to be practical as well and give you some statistics, so to speak, and kind of work through what the millennial generation is all about. I think sometimes statistics help us think, help us get to know what's going on. And as I said just a few minutes ago, my generation is a product of the generations before us. And, you know, you look at the millennials, and some of you that are older probably look at us and go, man, you guys are crazy. You guys are nuts. I mean, you probably, and we are, okay? We really are. But there were some crazy trends and things that happened before we ever were alive. Things like the beatniks. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like the hippies, like the punks, the slackers. I heard that terminology for the first time today. I was doing some extra research and there was a lot of different weird stuff going on before we were ever on the scene. Okay, so millennial generation is just a continuation, I believe, of some of these things. And you know, I think on one side I'm going to be tough on the millennials here. On the other side, let's have a heart for them. Let's open our eyes to see what can we do to help my generation. There are 75 to 80 million millennials, is the last thing I saw there, in right now in America. 75%, I'm going to give you some stats, and they're not in any particular order. They're not all organized nice and neat, but I'm just going to give you some stats and throw some stuff out there and just give you an idea what's going on. 75% of millennials create a social networking profile. 20% post a video of themselves online. 38% of them have 1 to 6 tattoos. That's a big deal, by the way, with millennials, just so you know. 23 of them have a piercing in some way other than an earlobe, okay? 80% of millennials sleep with their cell phone right next to their bed, okay? 80%, because that text that has to pop in the middle of the night, they got to answer that, right? Millennials could be the first generation in over a century to see their lifespan level off and drop, and obesity is becoming an epidemic among millennials. Only 15% of millennials place a high importance on a very religious life. Only 15%. On the positive side, in some ways, we are the most educated generation in the history of mankind. Many young Many young guys have reached the star status. Mark Zuckerberg in Facebook, Andrew Mason in Groupon, and you could go on and on and on and on. Major, major, major billionaires. I mean, I'm talking some of the richest men in the world are millennials, guys in my age bracket. All right. In 2011, millennials launched almost 160,000 startups each month, and 29% of all those all the startup people were in the 20 to 34 year old range. Millennials are quote unquote great at multitasking. Okay, and by the way, they say it's proven that you cannot technically multitask. Okay, I've seen some ladies that can get pretty close, but you technically can't multitask. You just go from one thing to another very quickly. Well, millennials are very good at doing that. They can talk on their phone. They can text on a phone. They can talk to you. They can do something else. They can play. They were saying in the article they could play video games. They can text on their phone, and they can eat food and do their homework at the same time. I'm not sure how that works. Their homework probably got absolutely crushed, but they do all the things at the same time. Okay? But you know what? What that results in is a huge lack of engagement with people. Millennials are very bad at interpersonal relationships. Have you noticed that? Very bad. I mean, this little device, in any way it comes, gets in the way of a lot of interpersonal relationships. And even if it's not there, millennials are very much lacking. And that is some of the most prevalent things that are said in all the articles I've read about millennials, is they're extremely bad at one-on-one conversations. They want one-on-one conversations, but they're not good at it themselves. Millennials are largely seen as entitled and narcissistic, all about themselves. But millennial self-confidence is likely a product of highly involved, and they call this helicopter parents. Never heard that terminology until recently, who have vehemently encouraged the importance of self-esteem. You know what I'm talking about when I say the awards that everybody gets nowadays. Millennials are the ones that got awards for just participating. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? like, wow, you got, you know, first place. That was back in maybe your day, okay? You got first place, first, second, and third, and man, that was it. Millennials, nobody, they don't want, we want to coddle them. You know, if we give them first, second, and third, then the other people might feel like losers. Well, they are losers. That's okay. I don't like to lose, but we're losers if we don't get to first, second, third. Well, millennials, we get a certificate of, you know, of achieving if you just participated, right? If you're on the team and you stunk and you were on the, you know, you get a certificate of something. You get something. And they talk about, and this happens, I've heard on the radio just recently, I saw probably three or four articles about trophies lining the walls of these millennials' homes that mean absolutely nothing. They did nothing, and they got these trophies. Well, we're coddled. Parents have coddled. They said this. These are not saved people. Parents have coddled and worked with and tried to protect these millennials to think, oh, you're the greatest. You're going to be this and that and the other. Well, what happens? Well, we've got a millennial generation that is very much about themselves and very narcissistic. 65% of older people, that's older than the millennial generation, describe millennials as entitled. 71% of them describe millennials as selfish. Reports are that 40% of millennials are unemployed right now. Common behaviors of millennials that that Gen Xers get annoyed with, and I thought this was kind of interesting. They need constant feedback. They don't like that. Gen Xers get annoyed with that. You know, we just talked about coddling and those different things. They can't take criticism. That is a big deal in the millennial generation. Criticism, and I'm one of them. Criticism, our idea, this is the best idea that has ever happened. No, actually, it stinks. And you love, if you ever look at a millennial, and if you might even say it in the nicest way, they look at you like, you have 10 heads. And they have this little puppy dog look on their face like, you just hurt my feelings. Somewhere I read in books back in the day, that just is what happened. If your idea was bad, you were told that and you learned and went and did something else and got better. Well, I'm glad that I grew up and people told me what, if you didn't like it, they just told me. All right, but millennials, we get coddled a lot of times. We can't take criticism. Basically, they said this in an article. Millennials are fed the line by culture that they are perfect. And anyone who says otherwise is a hater of them. They think they know everything. I think that's very true. We have arrived. We are there. You're 21. You have no anything, all right? They lack patience. They're easily distracted and bored. You know why we're easily distracted and bored? Take a phone away from a millennial. Put them in the waiting room of some place. Take everything out of the waiting room. Nothing. No TV, no nothing. Just take it all out. Put a book of, put a classic next to them. They would sit there so bored they couldn't even think. They'd be fiddling, they'd be walking around, they'd probably turn the chairs upside down, put a phone in their hand, they could sit there for 10 hours and wouldn't even know you were there. Millennial generation is very impatient because they're so tied into things. They don't even, this is one thing, I never heard this word before. They are ageist, okay? Racist, ageist, they call it that, or something like that. That's how they think how they say it, against the old generation. They push back. Millennials are all about diversity. That's what they said. They're all about diversity. What's ironic, they're not welcoming of you old folks. Sorry. You have an idea? Not welcome here. Get out of here. We're smarter than you are. Millennials are like that, okay? Work with teenagers or college students, and they may be well-meaning, but they'll somehow push away the older people. It happens. I did the same thing. Millennials are very fast at doing that. This is what they once said. Somebody said this was a millennial talking to millennials or to older people. They said, in giving critical feedback to millennials, managers will first need to compliment them before they will listen to criticism. Really? Do we have to be coddled that much? But that's what they're talking about. If you really want to get through to us, compliment us on how good we are, then tell us what's wrong. Doesn't work that way. Here's another thing. This is kind of switching subjects here on that. 60% of adults spend 5 or more hours on electronic devices. This is not a desktop computer or TV. This is talking iPads, iPhones, or maybe a laptop. 40% of millennials, get this, spend 9 hours a day with a screen in front of them. Not a desktop computer at work. I'm talking screens of small proportions. 40% spend 9 hours a day. 90% of millennials say the phone never leaves their side. Never. Okay, if you ask any millennial, and if they lose their phone, it's probably worse than anything else that they've done. Their car could be stolen away, but if their phone's in it, they're probably talking about their phone more than their car. 68% of millennials have digital eye strain. I never heard about that until just recently. That's a new phenomenon. It's becoming nearsightedness, okay? And this is a side light, but I think this is interesting what I read here. The blue light in the phone releases something that actually messes up your whole body and they call it the melatonin, your sleep signal that when you get about mid-afternoon night. Well, when millennials are on their phone all the way deep into the night or on their iPads, melatonin level goes down. Kids don't have the sleep signal. They don't go to sleep. They don't sleep well, and their whole cycle's off. Well, then we have kids that are all whacked out. No wonder we have a whacked out generation. And this is a total, this is on a health thing by unbelievers. They said it's a big deal. Internet addiction, being on your phones and the things for 10 to 12 hours a day, may rewire certain brain structures as well as causing brain matter shrinkage. All right. People say if you pull an electronic device away from millennials, it's like pulling candy from a baby. Your brain wants it so much, and then if they get away from it, they're overly aggressive, they get snappy, their mood swings. Millennials under 30 will usually let their phone go to voicemail. I do that sometimes. I hate to say that. Phone goes to voicemail, then they'll text the person back to talk to them. They will not call them back, all right? I understand that immensely. I am a millennial, and sometimes you just see that number come in, and or you miss it, and instead of calling the person back, you text them back, or you wonder. My first thought typically is, even if I call them back, I wonder if they have texting. Bad thing! We're so attached to that. 25% of millennials say that they attend church at least once a week. 30% attend occasionally. 40% never attend church. 58% of millennials say Christianity is hypocritical. 62% say Christianity is judgmental. And 64% of Christians say that Christianity is anti-gay. And you kind of know where that thing's going with that. That's a lot of different stats, but hopefully it gives you an idea of where my generation's at. You know, that's our focus. Our focus, you know, the buzzwords out there are being connected and, you know, linked to each other and networking and all this different thing, which some of it, I'm not talking, saying is bad. What I'm saying is this, is my generation is so focused on the things in life that we have lost everything around us. We become disrespectful, disobedient, foolish. You know, we give excuses for everything. And the list could really go on. The exposure to the media, the exposure to what's going on and the filth of the world is just ruining my generation. We are so tolerant of other things. You know, I have a list here of stuff. I won't go through all of it, but you know, I think a lot of millennials view strict rules as unkindness from other generations. You know, we think that questioning authority is fine if, you know, is valid if you know if they think something is wrong. They can question authority. You usually have to give a millennial the manual for dummies. You ever notice that? You know, you assign them to do something, and you have to give them that book that says blank for dummies, you know, whatever, fill in the blank, whatever it is. You know, build this for dummies. Why? Because a lot of times millennials will forget what you said within about 10 seconds and have to come back. And a lot of times they don't come back to ask you. They quit, give up, and forget, leave the job. A lot of times, and that's what people are saying. This is not just, I'm not saying my experience. I'm saying this is what people are saying, okay? Very shallow relationships. Obviously, we see that with Twitter and Facebook. And so, I mean, how many times have you heard a story of those burglars that go into houses and then they talk, they go on the person's computer, log into their Facebook account, and talk about the fact they just got into a house and stole something? I mean, I don't know if you heard that story. That's a true story. The guy left his Facebook account open on the computer, left the place with the stuff. Yeah, he was caught pretty soon. But he was a millennial. He had to be so much on his Facebook account, he had to be so connected in that he was caught. I mean, just incredibly, unbelievably attached to technology, attached to stuff. And I could go on and on and on, but I won't. But I was going to tell you, my generation is so focused on what the world has to offer that we've lost a focus on anything real. I'm going to read one more illustration here, and then I'm going to move on into the thing. But I want you to get this. This is a story from a unsaved person in the fashion industry. Says this: I never imagined the toughest problem I would have in running a multi-million dollar business would not be getting off the ground, staying afloat, or growing at a rapid pace. While all huge challenges, they're a walk in the park compared to the biggest obstacle I've dealt with in 5.5 years of business: recruiting a group of loyal, competent young employees under 30 years old. I'd like to think my problem isn't just that I'm an old fuddy-duddy. I own a luxury clothing e-commerce platform in Miami Beach with my husband. We're 32-year-old owners with a startup mentality. We like to think we care deeply about our culture. We frequently discuss our values and host different company get-togethers. I like to think that though always busy, we're very engaging and passionate company with a slew of opportunities for growth. When I was 23, I used to dream about being a part of a company that cared about what I thought, that saw my true potential, gave me challenging responsibilities. Turns out, our millennial staffers don't really see it that way, and while I know I can't generalize my experience to a whole generation, I also doubt that my young employees are unique. Here's my list of grievances. Number one, they're cocky. I have yet to give a millennial a leadership position and have them accept their new role with humility. Once you give them a fancy title like assistant, buyer or marketing specialist, they automatically seem to think they're God's gift to you, your clients, and your other employees. They're not afraid to speak to others in a condescending manner or even to talk back to you. They nonchalantly move through life doing things I wouldn't have dreamt of doing to any of my superiors, let alone the owner of my company when I was their age. Number two, they take things for granted. Millennials seem to think they have a ton of options. Even in a recession-hobbled economy with very few challenging entry-level job openings and even fewer in the fashion industry, 20-somethings seem to think their options are endless. That makes them less aware of how grateful they should be for their things they have, especially the unique opportunity to get paid to learn the ins and outs of what they do. Recent graduates, regardless of what school they graduated from time immemorial, have been asked to make cups of coffee, to bring copies for people. Millennials, on the other hand, seem to think someone should have rolled the red carpet out when they graduated from school. Number three, they think they're exempt from the rules. I don't remember the last time I told a new employee something that he or she followed verbatim the first time. In the beginning, before they understood implicitly that carelessness is not a value that we favor, almost all millennials demonstrate that they don't care what the consequences of their actions will be. These are all activities that they seem to think are normal. Sending emails to clients with blatant grammatical mistakes. Knowingly telling customers incorrect information because they think that's the better answer. And ignoring an inquiry from the boss. Number four, they don't follow through. If they end the day without finishing a task, they'll come in the next morning, forget they need to finish it. I see myself explaining over and over the term follow through as if it were some complex mathematical equation that only rocket scientists can grasp. Our normal expectation for an adult over 21 is that they are able to take care of tasks with little supervision without having to be reminded. But that's not the case, even with our most responsible millennials. Number five. They don't want to pay their dues. It's the culture of now for them, and frankly, this makes their fairly minor age difference seem like the gap of a century. When I graduated, this lady graduated from college, my peers and I were fully aware that our first year or two in the workforce would be spent in dull jobs because you have to start from the bottom and work your way up. That mentality got me to where I am today. Too many of my young staffers seem to think they're entitled to a high salary and the most glamorous task when they have no experience or proven track record. Then she asked this question, do you have this problem? I feel like breaking open the anti-suicide windows of my 21st floor office and shouting, calling all smart, stable, and humble, fashion-oriented people, can you please show up and work today? On time. That's her article. You know, it's interesting that a person like that, a very much unsaved person, would say something like that. And I took a quiz. There was a How Millennial Are You quiz, and I printed it out, and I won't go through it for time's sake. How Millennial Are You? And 15 questions, I went through it, and 73 out of 100 was a millennial, and then above that, you were very millennial. And down to, if you were in the, let me get to it now, if you were 33 out of 100, you were a Gen Xer, and above. 11 and above, you were a baby boomer, and 4 and above, you were a silent. I ended up in the 17 to 20 range. So I was pretty low, actually. So, but some of the questions like, do you have a tattoo, do you have these different things? And a lot of people were scoring in the upper 70s, the 80s, these millennials, you know, texting and different things. I give you all of that, and it was a lot of stuff to take in. I wanted to give you the practical side. But let me just tell you this evening, Falls Baptist Church, I believe that those characteristics of the millennial generation are not just out there. I think, unfortunately, I say this because I'm a millennial, I think we, even in here, have been affected by the generation that's out there. I believe we let the world slip in. I mean, there's compromises, and I say that carefully, compromises even in our own life that will lead to major compromises. I won't go through the statistics right now, but the statistics that look, if you look at what happens right now in the generation, my generation, and the young people, of how many young men are leaving the ministry, over 80%, I believe, 80% of seminary and Bible school graduates who enter the ministry will leave the ministry within the first 5 years. 80% of my colleagues, my guys in my age, 80% will leave. 57%, if they had a better job, they'd leave to go to secular work. They don't even want to go. 77% say they don't have good marriages, and I could go on and on and on and on. 1,500 pastors leave the ministry each month due to spiritual burnout. I mean, just unbelievable. And these are millennials. There was a survey that went out to young guys, millennials, young fundamentalists, millennials and Gen Xers. And they asked questions, and they had these answers at the back. They asked some questions like, what's your biggest vice? What do you feel the most guilty about? What's your main regret in your life? These are mainly millennials and some Gen Xers. And they were anonymous answers. So they answered quite openly. And unbelievable what my generation, the millennial generation, in the ministry is saying. Unreal. No matter we don't have any power in right now. It's amazing that what's going on in our generation, we have a new idea that we can do whatever we want to do and God will bless. We have a new idea that we can kind of be carefree, happy-go-lucky, just kind of serve God however we say, and then we kind of hope that God will come and bless us. And I think that tonight, I believe that my generation needs to have in our minds this mindset that we need to get back to the old paths. We need to get back to where God has called us to be. Millennials, we don't need to be fitting in to what the world has. We don't need to have the latest trend and the latest this. And I'm not saying those things are bad. We don't have to have the latest social networking thing and that and those and the other things. We need to serve God. You know, we get out there and we look at people, we look at youth groups, we look at young people in these churches. We look at dying churches, churches that are, you look out there, and I love older people. When you see a church of 90% older people, it's a dying church. People, there's no young couples. You don't see a young, vibrant, millennial generation in churches a lot anymore. And you see a church like that, it's growing. It's something's going on if you see that happening. But I want to challenge us tonight. I want to challenge us tonight that our young generation, our millennial generation in fundamentalism is really in shambles. But I believe that if we got in our minds tonight, if we got in our hearts tonight and we got sold out to going back to the old path where there is rest for us, where there is blessing, I believe God could do great and mighty things. So we first looked at our characteristics of our generation, and number two, and I've kind of already gone into this, but number two is a crossroads for our generation. We're commanded to look for the old paths. We're looking for that. It implies that we've lost our way. It implies that we don't know where we've gone. We're going a new way. We're blazing out in a new way. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever gotten lost and ever had to ask for directions? All right, probably ladies would raise their hand a lot more than guys would, okay? Guys are really bad about asking for directions. And, you know, you get out there, you're going around. GPS is obviously helping having these different things in your phone, but you can get out there, and you get lost, and you don't have no idea where you are, and ask for directions. I believe millennials, we are lost in our way a lot of times. We're in our own thing. We're blazing a trail, and we think we're doing well. We look around us, and the surroundings are brand new. We don't know what we're doing, and I believe tonight, we need to get back to the path that God has given to us. We have a crossroads tonight. Millennials, you can go down the new path. You can go down the path that we've seen many people in the scripture, many people over history go down that path. We see in Psalm 17:4, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Proverbs 1:15 says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. So many times it talks about, I won't do all the verses, but the path of the unrighteous. Don't go that way. Don't go this way. And I believe we as millennials so many times try to go down that path and take steps and see, how far can I get down this path? You know, how far can I go down the path of worldliness to see, it'll be okay. This step won't be a problem, and it might not be a problem at that point. But I tell you what, if we start following a new path and blazing a new path away from the Word of God, we are going to end up in the destruction that the Word of God talks about. Tonight we're at a crossroads, at the new path, but the old path, what it talks about, what is that? What is the old path? Well, the old path is what God has taught in His Word. The old path is what we have been taught in our lives by our parents, by our authorities, by our pastors, by the preachers. The men of the old path, the Moseses, the Davids, the Daniels, the Josephs, the Pauls, the Elijahs, the John, the Timothys, the Peters, the Jonathan Goforths, the Adoniram Judsons, the Hudson Taylors, the James Frasers, that have walked the old path, those men of God that have seen God work. You know, it absolutely, to me, use this word, disgusted me and angered me to see posts from my generation of guys getting online and knocking the guys in the older generation and the preachers of the past. I'll tell you what, that is just, there's nothing more that frustrates me to see guys my age think that what they know and what they've done in their life just trumps everything that these men of the past have done. You think about the men of the past, and if anybody in this room, you could think about, and you probably are right now, preachers of the past, preachers that are either dead now or older now that have impacted your life, or people in biographies that have impacted your life, or men in the Bible that have impacted their life. And so many times we as millennials take it and chuck it out. I'll do my own thing. But that is the old path, the path that those men blazed for us. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 23:3, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Psalm 25:4, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths." Psalm 25:10, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony." Psalm 27:11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies." Psalm 119:35, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I could go on and on and on and on. There are so many verses in the Bible talking about the path. Isaiah 42:16 says, "I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them." And obviously Jeremiah 6, verse 16, talking about the old paths. We are at a crossroads tonight, millennials. We're at a crossroads. You are in a church right here that preaches truth. You're in a church, and by the way, be thankful for Falls Baptist Church. I hope you are thankful for the church that you're in. I just said I've been in a lot of churches in the past few years, over 300 churches, and I would never trade in anything to be in this anywhere else but this church. It is amazing to the privilege of the men of God, obviously a pastor here that believes right and stands for right. By the way, that is unusual in this world. It's unusual in this country. But then the preachers that come through here and the people you get to talk to and get influenced by, it's an amazing thing, and I hope you thank the Lord for it. I hope you do, because many people don't have that opportunity. Millennials, I hope you praise the Lord for the stand that is taken here at this church. I hope you don't chafe at the rules, so to speak. By the way, the millennial generation is in a new way, we have defined standards as all of a sudden rules. Oh, that's what you believe. Oh, those are just rules. And all of a sudden, things that for years and generations before that I never thought were a problem, just watching, or other generations never thought, all of a sudden millennials make that a big deal. And I think, unfortunately, we chafe at what we've been given. And tonight we're at a crossroads. We're at a crossroads of a new path, which new things aren't wrong, as I said before, but a new path away from God, or an old path, getting back to where God wants. Well, tonight we've looked at the crossroads, but number three, the consequences for our generation. I have to move quickly and be done here. Well, the new path, and we know, and this is pretty obvious stuff I'm talking about here, but millennials, tonight, you take that new path, it might seem great for a little bit. You might think, wow, this is incredible. Wow, man, look at the freedom I have. Man, this is awesome. I am liberated to do what I want to do. Yeah, just for a little bit of time. And then guess who dictates what you do? Satan, the world, pop culture, Facebook friends, Twitter people. I don't even know what they're all called. Instagram and Snap, whatever. Okay? And you get so connected to what's going on today, millennials, that you go down that path and the dangers out there are unbelievable. And let me tell you this right now. I'm not into all that stuff, right? All the different social networkings and all those different things. And I'm not bashing social networking right now. The point is, millennials, you need to recognize the danger that is out there. Satan does not love you. We know that. And he has his fingerprints over all of this stuff. And I'm telling you, when you get out there on a new path and you blaze a trail away from what God has taught you and you've been brought up here at this church, and under your parents, you blaze a new path, you are going to be vulnerable to the attacks of the evil one. You're not going to have protection. You're going to look just like the world. You'll have strong temptations from every side. And what's going to happen is it says in this passage, you're going to be destroyed. Your life will be destroyed. You know, I've had many people, and maybe some of you that you would know, I have many classmates or people that I grew up with or around me in my age group that grew up in this academy, that were in this church, that they're not even anywhere close to this place now. Their lives are destroyed, and they're millennials, and they went on a new path. I praise the Lord for the people, the men behind me on that screen that stood up here, that poured their life into me. And I praise the Lord that I took the old path. Now I have to get back on there, and the Lord's bringing me back and chastening me and getting me back on the old path. But I praise the Lord that I chose that path to go on. It's a lot better to be there and serve God, millennials, than it is to do your own thing, because it doesn't end in happiness. It doesn't end in happiness. Yes, you're saving. Yes, you go to heaven, but it doesn't end in happiness. It ends in destruction. But the old path ends in rest. Rest in the power that comes through the Holy Spirit. Rest in the victory that is there. Rest in the victory that is through Jesus Christ. There's blessing. There's a blessing. There's lasting fruit And I don't even have to go into all the things. You know what happens when you obey God. Kids, when you obey your parents, what happens? Bad things happen, right? No! When you obey your parents, kids, great things happen. Even if you obeyed your parents and did something you thought that didn't make any sense, whenever that happened, God always used it in a big way in my life. Whenever something in my life, when my parents said something and they didn't agree with it, and I obeyed, it always turned out in an incredible blessing. But when I disobeyed, the things that, well, they're obviously wrong. I was obviously wrong. And I got destroyed, so to speak. I had some serious consequences in my life. Millennials tonight, let's take the path of blessing. Let's take the path of rest for your souls. So tonight, make a call to my generation. I've been kind of saying it this whole time. We know the need that's there. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Millennials, I dare you to stand up for God. I'm talking to myself tonight too, because I'm one of you. We're so easily swayed. But millennials, why not? Why not? Why can't we put away the things of the world? Why do we have to have all those accoutrements and entrapments around us? I mean, seriously, if I didn't have to have a phone or a computer, I told my wife, I'd just chuck it out the window. I'd love to be back row just reading books and doing things the old way. But you know what? Because the world has a way of getting its fingers in the when you don't even expect it. Millennials, let's stand up for God. Let's stand up and do the right thing. Let's go out and reach our generation. But you can't reach your generation if you're just like the ones out there that are lost. A generation out there needs somebody to be different. Oh, if I have a part in my hair, I'm not going to be able to reach them. By the way, a part's coming back in anyways. But, you know, you have to have a little shave cutter on the side there, and your hair has to poof up a little bit. But, you know, and the part has to be right about there, and it has to look really dumb and stand up here. But they have parts back there. By the way, you thought parts were out of style. They're back in style. So look at that, you know. But you say, man, if I wear a skirt, I'm going to look weird. You're a chosen generation. Stand up like it. I need to do the same thing. I mean, we could go down the line. If you today, if you walk out into the world and you are ashamed to be there and what you are wearing, you're down the new path. You are not settled in the old path of blessing, millennial. If you're down there and you are, well, I don't fit in, and you're so worried about what's going on, young person, let me challenge you tonight. Forget what your friends think. Forget what your Facebook friends, and they're not friends. Check out, say something spiritual on your Facebook account. Really spiritual and maybe confrontational, and see how many friends like what you say. Tweet something out really spiritual that, you know, Jonathan Goforth said. See how many people would, you know, retweet your tweet. Put a selfie on there, man, the whole world tweets it back. Because we're all about ourselves. By the way, you don't have to have a Facebook account or a Twitter account to be about yourselves either. Millennials, I'm just telling you this, and I'm burdened for myself tonight more than anything. We got to stand up for our generation. If you have a burden for your generation, if you have a burden for this country, our country is going down the tubes fast. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be getting a decision from the Supreme Court. It's probably going to change our lives, millennials, forever. Let me tell you tonight, if you're burdened for it, then stop living like them. Take the old path back. Walk where Jesus wants us to walk. Go where we have been taught. Go where your parents want you to go. Go where the Lord wants you to go. Take the torch, like the Olympic races, they have the torch and they run across how many miles? Take that torch from the people that have taken it so far. Instead of taking the torch and going, putting out the flame. Or a relay race, if you want to use that one, and taking the relay thing and going, yeah, right, flipping it behind you. Let's take it and let's finish it. Let's finish what God has for us. And by the way, let me just say it this way. Been tough on our generation because I know where I am. Let me say this, millennials. We have more potential than any generation on this planet. Instead of using Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and whatever, I don't even know all the things out there, for yourself, if you're going to use it, reach somebody with it. I'm not saying it's a good thing to use. I'm not saying whatever. But instead of getting out there and using connectivity for yourself, so to speak, reach somebody. But the problem is, so many times we get out there and we don't reach people with those things. Use what God has given to you, tools. And I'm not saying that's God's tools, but use what God has given to you to reach people today. We are in a connected generation. Reach them instead of talking about it. Reach them instead of throwing selfies out at them. Reach them instead of putting this out there. Or reach them instead of thinking about them and dressing like them. Reach this generation. Let's do it for the Lord's sake. Let's do the Great Commission tonight. We have a potential to reach 7 billion people. Millions of the millennial generation tonight. And what this millennial generation could do to change the world. What one of you could do to change the world. Could be a Jonathan Goforth. Could be a whatever, you name it. My challenge is simple tonight. Let's get back to the old path. Probably didn't say anything you didn't know tonight. The millennials and everybody else. You encourage the millennials. Don't let up on us. Don't buy the things of the world. Oh, be coddled. No, don't let up on us. You be tough on us millennials. You give that truth with love, as Zach was talking about in his testimony. You give it to us. We need it. Chasing us. As the Lord gives it, you chasing us. I'll tell you this. Then after you do that, point us in the direction we need to go in the old paths. And millennials, take it and let's do it. And by God's grace, let's be a generation that steps forward and does great things for God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness and showing me my own weaknesses. And Lord, this has been simple. And Lord, it's a lot of different things tonight. It's gone late. Lord, I pray you would work in hearts. Lord, this isn't about statistics or things that we can conjure up. Lord, we as millennials know where we're at. Lord, I pray that we would be honest tonight with you. We'd be honest tonight, and we would be able to stand up where God is dealing with us. Before we get close in prayer, I give it over to Pastor. Let me just ask one question. This is directed to millennials, and I'm not looking for any particular response here from you to point out anything. How many would say, millennial generation, I'm talking to you, God in some way dealt my heart. God in some way. I'm not saying anything, I'm not going to name anything particular, but God in some way dealt in my heart about getting back on the old path. In some way, millennial generation, God dealt in my heart some way. And I'm raising my hand in testimony, just pray for me. Maybe you're here tonight and man, that step to obey would be tough, whatever God has. Maybe it's something else. I don't know what it is. Millennial generation, tonight, you say, God's dealt in my heart tonight, would you raise your hand? Any millennial generation here? Amen. Anybody else? Any other millennials would say, you know what? I'm willing to stand up for God. I'm willing to stand up for God. Lord, I pray you would take these many hands that were raised. Lord, join us together, us millennials of Falls Baptist Church, into a mighty army to change the world. Well, thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name.